tonight. So let's turn there. I want you to be in special prayer for Sister Gladys. She's not able to see. She's not able to get around without running into things and bumping into things, even around the house. And she told me this morning it's going to be a while before she is back in services. I guess she just feels so unsure of getting in and out safely and not being able to see. And so I pass that along to you. I think she sees the eye specialist. I think she said on the 24th of July. So I don't think she'll be back in services till after they have that appointment and find out what needs to be found out. So pray. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's go ahead and read the entire text from this morning. Verse 1 through 13. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so high unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? What nation is there so great that thou that hast statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain. The mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. From the ninth verse, we began looking at the subject of keep thy soul this morning. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Ultimately, only God can keep the soul. Only God keeps our souls. He keeps them forever. He keeps them and protects them. He's made them eternal. He has sent His Son to die for them that they might have life and have eternal life. And He preserves them through this life and He receives them into His presence. And He keeps us through all the journey that is this thing called life. We read in Psalms chapter 121 that we will look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. He is the keeper of our soul. We considered the fact that there are others given the responsibility of soul keepers. We considered preachers and teachers of God's Word. And they are said according to Scripture to have the oversight of souls, that they must give an account for the souls that are placed under them. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us they watch for your souls. They watch for your souls. So being called to preach, being given the responsibility of teaching the Word of God to people, irregardless of their age, makes you a keeper of souls, a watcher over of souls. And I wanted to read from the book of Ezekiel. Let's turn over there to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 3. Verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. O son of man, if I tell you to warn, if I tell you to watch for souls and to speak the truth unto them and to warn them, and you don't do it, they're going to pay for their sins. The consequences are not going to change, but their blood I will require at thy hand. But if you speak my word, if you warn the people, no matter how unpopular or how rejected and refused it may be, if you warn the people and they repent not, they're still going to pay for their sins. But your hands are clean. Preachers and teachers of God's word watch for the souls of men. They watch over and are responsible for the souls of men, women, boys and girls. They watch for the souls of many. And that's an awesome responsibility. An awesome responsibility. And when the people of God don't want to hear the message, when the people of God want smooth things and comfortable things, and they cause the preachers and the teachers to cave in and to give the smooth things, you're not going to change the outcome as far as God is concerned. And all the cost to the one who caves in and speaks the smooth things instead of the true things of God. There's a special accountability to those who handle the Word of God and deal and work in and amongst God's people. There's a special responsibility to speak the truth, to warn people, preach the whole counsel, to preach the Word in season and out of season. In our text, verse number 3, I think, is the first place No, verse number 9 is the first place, and verse number 10 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." There is a generation amongst us. There is a generation, maybe a second or third generation upon the earth, of children that have been coddled and pampered and ministered to and given all their heart's desire. These generations, the parents are all consumed with their being happy, with their having a good time, with their being somebody, becoming somebody, being successful, making a lot of money in this world. There are these generations who are all consumed with the physical elements in their children's lives, who seemingly don't have any concern at all for the spiritual needs, which are far more important. And if you're going to neglect a child, neglect them more in the physical things, neglect them more in the comfortable things, neglect them more in the fun things. Don't neglect teaching your children the things of God. Because you too, parents, are going to stand before God one day and give an account because you're a watcher over their souls. Children are entrusted to their parents. Parents are to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they will one day account to God for the job that they did. And I heard somebody pray recently, or it may have been when I was listening to one of the sermons from last Sunday. All these things that children are being taught are so important. All these things are going to be burned and turned to ashes. It's not going to go with them into eternity. It's not going to go with them from this place. then what will they have if they don't have some kind of a spiritual crop, a spiritual heritage? The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go. And I fear for the children that are coming into this world in the day and time in which we live. As I have said recently, these are the worst times I think the world has ever faced. And with the blessedness of a child being born also comes, I think, a weightier responsibility to raise children. I believe it's harder. It's the only way I can put it. I believe it's harder to train children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in these times than they've ever been upon us. Pray for parents, as the saying goes, that they'll do the right thing, that they'll make the right investments in their children that will go with them into eternity. Ultimately, after God is seen as the keeper of our soul, the text lays before us our responsibility as individuals to keep our souls. Amen. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Take heed to yourself as an individual. Not just keep thy soul, but keep thy soul diligently. Now, in our text today, we have these verses that we've read. And contained within these verses and found within these verses are the steps, are the things we need to be doing in relationship to keeping our soul. Or if we have the responsibility of being a keeper of someone else's soul, if we ever have responsibility to be a keeper of someone else's soul, to watch over someone else's soul, to guard, to keep watch over someone else's soul. Glean from this passage of Scripture these things and do them. God will bless you. And your soul will be spared. And you might just spare the soul of somebody who is placed under you. It's simple to see these things. I'm sure these things are not new. But in verse number 1, Moses says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you." Hearken to the word of God. Hearken to the statutes. Hearken to the commandments. Hearken to the precepts. Hearken to the word of God. If you want to keep your soul, you don't want to lose your soul, you don't want to waste your entire life and end up in the end losing your soul, keep and hearken to the word of God. God told Joshua, chapter 1, he would be the one that followed Moses. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 7. God speaking to Joshua, who was going to have to be a watcher of souls, a keeper of souls over the people of Israel. God says to him, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. Observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Be strong and courageous. Observe to do. In recent weeks, I can't remember how many weeks ago it was, I made the comment, and you may have thought I was joking, but I was serious. We don't get paid to think. God has not called us to think. I may have told you about the bricklayer, 400-pound guy. Whenever you said, "I think," or "I thought," he'd always say, "You don't get paid to think." I got the point. We don't get paid to think. We get paid to do as God's people. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." Observe to do according to all the word of God. We've got a full-time job doing what God's word says. We've got a full-time job doing what the Spirit of God leads us to do in our personal lives. We've got our hands full with all the doing that God has given to us. Let's not be whittling away the hours thinking, trying to get out from under those things, trying to come up with loopholes, trying to come up with excuses. Just do it. That's what God's called us to do. To do it. The conclusion of the whole matter. Just do it. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Just do it. Verse number 2 of our text. "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Hearken to the word of God. Hearken to the statutes, the commandments, and the judgments of God. And don't alter it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. We give so much emphasis. We put so much emphasis and focus in this being the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. And yet we trivialize it. We add to it, we take away from it, we alter, we change. We come up with our loophole theology. And when we do that, what we're declaring is we really don't believe the things we say we believe about the Bible. Because if we really believe the things that we say we believe about the Bible in general, if we really believe this to be the inspired Word of God, perfect and without error, if we really believe that, we don't add to it, we don't take away from it. We believe it, we do it, we practice it. That's what God has called us to do. Proverbs 30, verse 6. Proverbs 30, verse 6, or verse 5 and 6. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." So there you have it. A declaration concerning the Word of God. Every single word of God is pure. Okay, if we really believe that, you really believe this book you're holding in your hand, is the Word of God, that it is pure, without error. Then verse 6 says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. It doesn't need improvement. It doesn't need anything added to it. It certainly doesn't need anything taken away from it. Don't alter it. Verse 3 of our text, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. I refreshed my memory, and I think ultimately some 24,000 people died because of what happened at Baal Peor. Because of that idolatry, the following after Baal. And the people of Israel saw that. Think about all the times God judged his people. All the times God punished his people. And Israel saw that. Israel saw that. And verse number 3 tells us not to forget. He tells Israel not to forget what they've seen. And we don't have to go to the pages of Scripture. We don't have to go to the stories of the Bible. We can look into our own lives and recount all the times we've seen God judges people. The best way to keep your soul is always remember what you've seen. Always remember what you see, what you've seen. Verse number 4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. There were those in the record of Baal Peor that didn't go the way of the idolatrous people, masses. You will find in the story those who clave to the Lord. And they're described in verse number 4 as alive, every one of you, to this or this day. Cleave unto the Lord. When the temptations and the trials come, when everybody else is doing it, when the call is, let's compromise, let us cleave to the Lord. Amen. Let us run to Him and grab Him around the legs. Refuse to be separated. Let us run to Him and cleave unto Him. Refuse to go the way of the crowd. Let us run to Him and wrap our arms around Him and refuse to follow the masses. And I'm talking about the religious masses. The masses of Christianity who are fleeing from the Lord. Not too long ago, I preached from John 6, I think it was. I believe it's John 6. Where the masses began to go away from Jesus. And Jesus turned to the disciples and He said, will you also go away? Will you also go away? And I made a couple statements. I don't know if they sunk in or not, or if they were new to you or not. But for thousands of years, people have been fleeing from Jesus. About 2,000 years since He was here. And the trend continues. People flock away from Jesus Christ. And for thousands of years, the question is still the same. The question is still the same tonight. Will you go away? Will I go away? Will we go away? Faith Baptist Church is celebrating its 60th anniversary. Is that any guarantee that years down the road we're not going to go away? As we celebrate our 60th anniversary and rejoice in God's goodness to us, we need to hear the Lord in the back of our ears saying, "Will you go away?" And may we cleave to Him and run to Him and say, "Lord, by the grace of God, we'll not depart." May we run to Him and put our arms around Him and say, "Lord, there's nowhere else for us to go. There's no one else for us to go to. You have the words of life." Cleave unto the Lord. Verse number 5, behold, I believe this is from the perspective of Moses. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it." Next instruction concerning keeping your soul. Not only don't forget what you've seen regarding the judgment of God against sin, but don't forget what you've been taught. Don't forget what you've been taught. Think back over the years. Think of all the sermons that have been preached from the pulpit of Faith Baptist Church. By pulpit, I mean not necessarily this exact piece of wood, but the place of the pulpit. Since 2008, in this sanctuary, prior to that, in the old sanctuary. Think of all the sermons that have been preached. Think of all the Sunday school classes that have been held. And if you want to keep your soul, if you want to keep your soul diligently, don't forget what you've been taught. Amen. Truth never changes. When somebody comes around and they're crying out for change, remind yourself, God's word doesn't change. What is truth today was truth 50 years ago. What is truth today was truth 60 years ago. What is truth today was truth 2,000 years ago. You'll keep your soul if you don't forget what you've been taught. There's a lengthy reading in chapter 8, verse 11 through 20. I don't think we'll take the time to read it. But it's good reading. Because the Lord reminds them not to forget what they've been taught. Because if you forget what you've been taught, you're going to mosey on down the road and more prosperity is going to come into your life. That's what's killing Christianity today is prosperity. That's what's killing Baptist churches today. Prosperity. We've got more stuff, more things, more time, more money. We spend all of our time in the pursuit of leisure and fun when God put us under the work ethic back in Genesis. He put us under the work ethic. He said, "By the sweat of your brow, you're going to make your way all the days of your life." But as we mosey on down the road and we experience more and more prosperity, if you don't remember what you've been taught, should have read it. Chapter 8, verse 11 through 20. you don't remember what you've been taught, there's going to come a day and you get all puffed up. And you look at your life and you look at your stuff and you count your money and your toys and all that you've got. And you're going to say, my, haven't I done something? God warned them not to forget what they had been taught. And not to ever get to the place where they thought, my, look at what we've done. Because you didn't do nothing. I don't do anything. It's all of God. And all the glory belongs unto Him. But the Lord warned them to forget, not to forget what they'd been taught. Lest there come a day when they're in the land and they say, my, look at what we did. And they forget that it was God who brought them out of Egypt. It was God who took them through the wilderness. It was God that delivered them into the land. It was God who drove out their enemies. It was God who had prepared the land already for their enjoyment at the hands of others. You know, most of what they inherited in the promised land, other people did the labor on. The houses, the vineyards, the fields. Those were all prepared by the people that came before them. And God delivered it into the hands of His people. He said, don't remember what you've been taught, lest you wake up one day and say, my, look at what I've done. Surely there's nobody here tonight who thinks, well, I've really done it. Well, I've really got it. I've really accomplished something. Don't forget what you've been taught. Verse number 6. Keep therefore and do them. Now catch what he's saying here. See if you can see what the main point is. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. You know what you need to do if you want to keep your soul? Maintain your testimony. Maintain your testimony. Maintain a testimony of being a child of God before the world. Maintain your testimony before those that you work with. Maintain your testimony before those in your family who don't know the Lord. Maintain your testimony in front of the lost world. Let them say, this is a great nation. Or this is a great individual. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Keep therefore and do them. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. I almost felt led to draw from these three verses that are clustered here together where nations are mentioned. Because He's speaking to the nation of Israel. He's speaking to the nation of Israel about their reputation amongst the other nations of the world. And I thought, my, how the mighty have fallen. The reputation of the United States of America isn't worth anything in the world today. They laugh at us. They think of us as a godly, immoral people. They think of us as a people of violence. As a nation, we've lost our reputation. But again, that's another message. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and testimony in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes. Verse number 7, for what nation is there so great? Good question. There's a question mark at the end of verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so high unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. Who compares to Israel? Who, except Israel, has such a high, holy God so close to them? Who else in our day and time but the United States has a high and holy God so close to them, at least used to be? You want to maintain your watchfulness. You want to keep your soul. Remember his holiness. Remember how close the high and holy one is to us. According to verse number 7 and 8. Verse 9 and 10, we've touched on already. Teach your children. Teach your children. If a test was to be prepared with the most basic, most elementary Bible questions that could be asked, how many of our children would pass? How many of our children would know the answers? Or have we failed to teach them? Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They have great smarts in the things of the world. But where are those smarts in the things of God? Take your child. Give them a Bible, a real Bible, the printed word. And ask them to find a couple books that are in that Bible. And hopefully you won't be surprised that they won't be able to find. Teach your children. If you want to keep your soul, the people of Israel are told to teach their children. It's part of their keeping their own soul. But they are keepers of their children's soul. They must be taught. You want to keep your soul. I would say before you, and this is without apology and is unpopular and some would call me a legalist. It's all right, I've been called that a lot. But if you want to keep your soul, know the Ten Commandments. Teach the Ten Commandments to your children. Understand what is found in those Ten Commandments. We're not saved by keeping them. We don't obtain the slightest bit of righteousness by adherence to them. But they are the perfect commandments of God. Verse 10, especially talking about teaching your children. And I'm just about done. Just don't unbuckle your seats till the ride comes to a complete stop. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them to hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Mount Horeb. What's Mount Horeb? That's Mount Zion, Sinai. That's where they got the law. I think I said Zion this morning. Apologize. Mount Sinai. Gather the people together. Moses rehearses it. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of the heavens. darkness, clouds, and they were scared to death. They started backing down, saying, Moses, you go up there. You go and appear before the Lord, and then come and tell us about it. But they witnessed that fire. They witnessed the earth shaking. They witnessed God speaking and giving his commandments to Moses. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. You heard the voice, but you didn't see the figure of a human body, but you heard the voice. That was the voice of God. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. He commanded you to perform even 10 commandments. You see, the 10 commandments of Exodus 20 are actually multiplied into hundreds of real commandments in Scripture. But it's okay to summarize the commandments of God by calling them the 10 commandments, because God here himself calls them the 10 commandments. But there was a multitude of the commandments of God connected with those. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Keep thy soul diligently. Ultimately, it is God who keeps the soul, who keeps our soul. But there are those who are charged with watching over souls. There are several here who are charged by preaching or teaching, parenting, with the keeping of souls. Keeping our soul means to guard, to keep watch, to keep it centered, to keep it synced up, to keep it focused. Keep thy soul diligently. Hearken to the statutes and commandments. Don't alter them. Don't forget what you've seen. Cleave to the Lord. Don't forget what you've been taught. Maintain your testimony. Remember how close he is. Remember his holiness. Teach your children and appreciate the Ten Commandments. God help us to know the Ten Commandments. I told you about that man that I was reading, talked about the marginal gospel. Marginal gospel. Jesus died, therefore I'm okay. No, that doesn't work. Amen. You got to know Jesus died for you. Marginal, and it's ineffective just to say or to believe that Jesus died so you're okay. I believe. Not enough just to believe. It's not enough to believe here. The story of Jesus, you have to believe in your heart. He died for you. You're not okay. Don't say you're on a journey. You're working. You're getting there. You're making progress. You don't make a journey. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a marginal gospel, a marginal foundation, you're on the verge of losing your very soul. Because the end is coming. And if the end doesn't come, you may die soon before the end comes. And with just a marginal gospel, you're on the verge of losing your soul. This man, again, I'm not giving him glory or credit, tooting his horn. I can't even tell you who it was I was reading. But he said something to this effect. He and his wife taught their children, teach their children to say this: I have a soul. It's inside of me. I can't see it, but it lasts forever. Young person, get that into your hearing. Repeat it a few times. I have a soul. It's inside of me. I can't see it, but it's going to last forever. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Your soul is going somewhere when you die, when the world comes to an end. Where is it that your soul is going to go? Don't forget, you have a soul, it's inside of you. You can't see it, but it's there. And it's going to last forever somewhere. Trust in Jesus Christ. Be saved, oh, tonight, lest it be forever too late. Let's stand.